Thanks be to thee, O God, for miracles. I love a parade, but I also love a miracle. I love a miracle. And I look around and I see a lot of you who I classify as miracles. Every time I see a baby, I say, God, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And every time I see an adult who is serving the Lord, who in days gone by was not serving the Lord, I say, that is another miracle. I can't describe a miracle except just by saying what Webster has said. Any event or effect in the physical world deviating from the known laws of nature, or a wonder thing, or transcending our knowledge, is a miracle. There are all kinds of things that happen to us in the category of miracles. We got big miracles, we got little miracles. Now, when you talk about sin, you just got sin. Sin comes in one size, S-I-N. It's just sin. It's disobedience to God. You can't have a big one and a little one. But when you talk about miracles, you've got to have a big miracle and a little miracle. But don't hold me to that. Because you know what a miracle is? It is a point in time when God decides he's going to do something. He's going to act. And I want to share with you this morning four of my favorite miracles in the Old Testament, and four of my favorite miracles just in passing in the New Testament, and then four of my contemporary miracles. And yet when you talk about contemporary times, you're talking about the present. And already that moment ago that I said that was the present is in the history, it's past tense. So as we move through our mainstream of living, we've got all these miracles that come to us. But I believe in miracles. One day a skeptic questioned Emerson as to his belief in miracles, and the philosopher smiled and pointed to a fly on the window pane. Miracle. They're everywhere around us. William Jennings Bryan pointed out that you can take a brown seed, you can drop it into the black soil, and up comes a green shoot. You wait a while, and you'll pull it up and discover that at the bottom of that green shoot is a red root. And if you cut it open, you find it white. Now, to me, that sounds like a miracle, where you take a brown seed and drop it in black soil. Something green comes up, you pull it up, you find it's red, you cut it open, and you find it's white. I can't grow a radish. Only God can do that. Only God can make a tree. And it's a miracle. But we see all of these things so often and so many times in our life that we just say, well, we'll scratch that off to normality, and it will not be a miracle. But there are miracles. And yet you can eat the radish, which I spoke a moment ago, not give it a second thought. Why is it that men are not distressed by mysteries in the dining room, but they reserve all of the mysteries for their religion room? As we continue our series on that which I believe as your pastor, we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, page 231 in your pew Bible, beginning with verse 4. And Paul is writing, and as he writes, he is writing to a group of people experiencing things like we today are experiencing. And I want you to know that I do believe in the gift of wisdom. I believe in the gift of faith. I believe in the gift of knowledge. And today, you will see what I believe. Beginning with verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to everyone for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while to another person the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another person he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles. When we talk this morning about my belief in miracles, and hopefully yours too, or that I can persuade you to believe in more of them before you leave. We must recognize that miracles come in two ways, and I'll use cliche this way. God providentially, sovereignly at times gives the gift of a miracle to a person. That person would be known to have the gift of a miracle. We could call them, quote, Holy Joe, but don't press that too far. The other kind of a miracle comes when people like you just pray to God. And as you pray to God, God unravels, unleashes, opens up, casts forth, performs a miracle. A miracle as a result of your praying. And so that would just be the regular Joe. Paul is speaking here of a person who has supernaturally been endowed with the gift of miracle. Miracle working, where a person would say something and it would happen. Something that would be contrary to the laws of God, as we know them set forth in the structured order of the universe. On the other hand, we've got people like you and me who would pray and we just would see the miraculous happening. I believe in miracles, and I believe that more people today are not experiencing miracles in their lives because these people are not believing in miracles. They're not asking for miracles. Now, my grouping of my four favorite miracles in the Old Testament and the New Testament in contemporary time come under these categories. That is, as I've labeled them, elements, health, the physical, and the supernatural. Now, in the Old Testament, we think about the elements. My favorite miracle is when the sun stood still. Boy, there have been times I wish the sun would still stand still for me to finish a job at somewhere, but the sun keeps going down. And I have never, but on two occasions, asked for the elements to be suspended. And on one occasion, whether it was real or not, whether it was a miracle or not, God granted that request because I was able to do what I normally would not have been able to do in the span of time that was allocated to me by Mr. Sun. But here in Joshua, we have this beautiful story of how the Lord was involved in this. And Joshua spoke to the Lord, and in the presence of the Israelites, he said, "Sun, stand still." An old man's sun that had been traveling the skies for eon after eon stood still. It has to be a miracle. And I believe it happened because the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. In the area of health, I think of the child that was raised to life. And we read about it in 1 Kings. It was a very beautiful, touching story, how a child had suffered sunstroke, perhaps, and needed some attention, and God came, and through his servant, when the person was in need, and this often happens in the scripture, a child was brought back to life that was dead. Now, when you have somebody who is dead, you have them brought back to life, it's got to be a miracle. It has to do with health. Then I think of physical miracles. In the Old Testament, the widow's oil multiplying. This is an amazing thing where, again, there was a need. "What shall I do for you?" the prophet said. "Tell me what you have at home." And she said, "Nothing except a small jar of olive oil." The word was, "Go to your neighbors, borrow as many empty jars as you can." Can't you see her going all over the little town, getting all the containers that she could line up? And from that one bottle of oil, she poured into the first container. Well, the container might have been smaller than the original container of oil. She poured it in, and it was filled. Well, that's normal. So another bottle is brought to her, and it is filled. And a third and a fourth. And by then, it becomes evident that something supernatural is happening here, because this small jar of oil keeps filling up all of the other containers, and itself does not diminish in its content. Now, I don't know what you would call that. I call that a miracle. A miracle. has to do with the physical. And then for the supernatural, I choose Aaron's rod. Some of you have had experience in our church with Aaron's rod. And you know the miracles that come from Aaron's rod, especially if it's made out of poison oak. But in the scripture, Aaron's rod was just a beautiful hand-carved rod on which a miracle took place. Because this common stick was just cast to the ground, there was a period of time when God would show himself and to prove and to show who would be leading the people at that time, and that common walking stick starts shooting out green leaves. Wow, it boggles your mind. And the people who watched saw that the bud came, flower, and the fruit. And in a little time, almonds perhaps were eaten from this common rod of Aaron. Now again, you call it what you like, fairy tale some would reply, but I call that a miracle, and those are my four famous miracles in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, when we talk about elements, I think of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee when there was a storm that was besetting the ship. The disciples were in turmoil. They were frantic. Oh, Jesus sleeping, his head on a pillow. Jesus is aroused. He stands up. In the middle of the rain, with the rain lashing against his face, what does he do? He says, stop it, stop it. Stops. Now, he didn't have the farmer's almanac. He said, stop, and it stopped. That's a miracle that takes place in the elements. And secondly, the health. I think of blind people and deaf people who were restored. In the physical, I think of the feeding of 5,000 men, plus women and children, from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, I don't know about you, I think that's a miracle. And in these days, when food is so high, and when food doesn't go as far as you'd like for it to, you might also want a miracle. I'll tell you about that in a minute, contemporary times. But the fourth favorite miracle in the New Testament has to do with the supernatural, where in John 20 we read about Jesus, who just materializes in the midst of a room that has been barred shut and locked. The disciples are there. It's after his resurrection. And they are in the upper room, right there, by themselves. And the scripture says that the doors are locked shut. No, Jesus just walks right through the door and is right there with them. Now, again, I say it's a miracle. I say it's a miracle. Miracles are designed so that men might know the power of God. They're designed today so men might know the power of God. But as long as we feel self-sufficient in our society, as long as we feel that we are able to do everything for ourselves, the miracles have little force on us. And it's a curious coincidence that this age of ours, which has felt able to perform all kinds of miracles itself, should be the age that is most skeptic of God's miracles today. But there are moods in which miracles are wasted upon us. When we're at the end of our powers, when all self-sufficiency is vanished, you know, then we're much more willing to listen to another kind of sufficiency. It takes a long time for the feelings of our self-sustaining power to vanish, but when it does, we see then, when God steps in, another thing altogether, and we have a craving for that miracle. Miracles in Christianity cannot be divorced. They are inseparable, and what God has joined together, they must not be taken apart. And yet you say, well, I believe in miracles. I hope you do. But according to the Gallup poll, a great majority of Christians today just don't believe in miracles at all. I think our congregation is exceptional in many ways. I trust in this way as well. Without miracles, Christianity would just not be. Answers to prayers for many people are miracles. We've got papers that say that it's impossible for us to Jody, you can't do it. People came to our home 3 years ago and they said, you just can't do it. They showed us papers. There were phone calls. There were documents. There were court orders decreed. You can't do it. But God spoke sovereignly to Nancy and he said that you shouldn't worry about all these things because you will adopt Jody. It will work. Well, she shares it with me and we share it with friends. And the friends say, it won't work. It can't work. Here's the paper that says it won't. But today her name's been changed. It's a miracle. This may not be much of a miracle to you, but when we talk about jobs, when we talk about marriage, when we talk about appointments, when we even talk about what's on the front of our bulletin, they all come together as miracles. And understanding the miracle and what a miracle is very, very important. When people ask me to explain the mysteries of the Bible, I, on two occasions, have asked them to explain to me the mystery of the farm, how you can take a red cow eating green grass and give white milk and turn into yellow butter. And except for one time when the man nearly hit me, the other person said, well, you got me, coach, you got me. I can't. I accept it. So I reply, why can't you accept this as God's word then, all the way through, that God works miracles? Oh, I do. In the Old Testament. Oh, I do in the New Testament. But today, this is a horse of a different color. I can't accept it today. Why not, I said. Well, I don't know. Has God changed? No, God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Then if God hasn't changed, why do we say there are no more miracles? Why would you say that? When Paul wrote about his miracles, we say that's grace. When Dr. Luke writes in Acts about the miracles, that's grace. Incidentally, being a physician, he dealt with accuracies. And when he wrote down somebody had a fever unto death, he used the right kind of a word that corresponded to a very significant kind of malaria. And he knew what he did. The words he chose were significant because he dealt in accuracies. And he, as a physician, attest to the fact that there were miracles. Well, that's good, you say. What about now? I've been waiting for you to tell us some of these contemporary miracles. Let me tell you of the miracles of people who have been healed. Now, some people, when you talk about miracles, equate healing with miracles, and ain't so necessarily, because miracles can be just miracles, or miracles can deal in the realm of healing. But there have been people who couldn't hear, who couldn't see, who couldn't walk, who today are functioning as they should because a person who had the gift of miracles touched them, or another person through whom God was showing his amplified power became healed. It's happening today. It's happened in our city. It's happened in our church. We talk about physical healings where a few years ago in the country of Indonesia, some missionaries had a lot of guests come in unexpectedly. And on top of that, there were a lot of natives of the country that came in unexpectedly. And it was time to eat. Well, I'm told that the wife said to the husband, we've got to do something. We've got to do something. The people are expecting to eat. And we just have this mess of pottage here for you and to me and our three children. What are we going to do? Pray was the answer. Let's pray. You know, if God has done it in the past, why can't God do it now? Now, before I go further, don't you go home and pray for a week's groceries to be extended from one Sunday dinner. But don't discount that. Don't discount it. Some of you may do that in spite of God, and God certainly would not honor that. But don't we pray, give us this day our daily bread. They prayed, and they said, Lord, we're asking for a miracle. Not a very big miracle, but a miracle enough so that this food will last for all these people. And the bottom line of the story is that it lasted for 25 or 30 people or more. There was no way that so many hungry people could eat out of a small bowl of originally prepared food. But God just kept working the miracle. And when it was over and while it was happening, the people started praising God. And as a result of that, a lot of people turned to Jesus. And after all, that's what the sign and wonders are for, so that God's power may not only be seen, but acted upon by people. In the realm of the supernatural, I've heard of many, but my very favorite miracle in present day, and I'm not sure where it happened, but I'm inclined to think it happened in the outskirts of San Francisco. I would like to think that anyway, because it's so close to us. This lady went to work. While she was at work, some men came to her car and removed her battery. And of course, the obvious purpose was abducting her and taking her off. They waited patiently for her to get out. She did not come as they planned. She was detained and the place was busy. But when she finally emerged, they were very ready to do what they were going to do. She walked to the car, she unlocked the car, she got in the car. And then as she tried to start the car, it obviously would not start. By then, her abductors were there on both sides of the car, and there were two men on the driver's side. They tried to get in. Quickly, she had presence of mind to latch the door, which she did. And that little tiny click, she knew, wouldn't keep them out very long. They could break the window, they could get her. But there was no way. She tried to start the car again, but they sort of relaxed, and they were not too excited about it, because they knew what she didn't know, that the car would never start. You've got to have a battery. She prayed, "God, help me." Now, I don't know why God helps some people when they cry out, "Please help me," and he doesn't help other people, except to say God is sovereign and God does everything right, so I don't question that. She prayed, "God, please help me. Help me get away from these people." She tried the car again. The car started. And those guys who were looking at her were astonished. In fact, they were petrified. And they just stood there as she drove that car away and home. And trembling, she ran back. She ran into the house, and she told her father, she was living at home at the time, what had happened. And he said, "Well, let's go out and see, you know, why the car wouldn't start." Praise God, it did start. And they opened the hood. There just wasn't a battery there at all. There was no battery. Now again, you can say she made it up, it didn't happen, but for those who were there, there is no doubt God had intervened and a miracle had been produced. I believe in miracles. I believe they were performed by the disciples, they were performed by the 70 who were sent out, they were performed by Stephen, by Philip, and the scripture says, look what's happening because God is doing these miracles. I believe in miracles. Because I believe in God. And I am looking for a miracle to take place in my family. I am looking for a miracle to take place in your families and in our church and where you work and where you young people go to school. Because God is in the miracle business and God reigns. And while today we're told of the great energy crisis in our country, there seems to be an energy crisis spiritually too, yet there need not be. Because we got PG&E. We got power. We got grace. We got energy. PG&E that comes from that JC power outlet, Jesus Christ. And today, my friend, he is right here waiting to energize you, to save you, to baptize you, to lead you, to encourage you, to bless you, and the list goes on and on. All comes under the category of miracles. I believe in miracles. I hope you do too. Ask for them by faith, believe, receive, and then praise God for the miracles. May we stand, please, and join with the choir as they sing, "I believe in miracles." You'll find the words printed in your bulletin.